Go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. That's where we're going to start tonight. And I hope this will be very helpful for you. We are in a battle. It's very obvious when you read the news, when you follow that. Just so many things going on. And it seems like evil is just becoming more and more obvious. I don't know if that's the right word to use. We know evil's here. It's always been here since the devil tempted Eve and the first sin in this earth. But it is becoming more established, more obvious, more noticeable when you hear stories on the news and our Supreme Court making decisions that 20 years ago we would have thought there is no way they would make some of these decisions they're making. And you see that and then you think, what in the world is happening? But you go back to scriptures and you remember, oh yeah, we're in a battle. That's what it is. This is a war. It's an all-out war. The enemies of God are fighting against God. They're fighting against everything that is good. And we've got to remember that we are in a war. We're soldiers. In fact, the Bible tells us that God has chosen us to be a soldier and gives us some instructions about how to be a good soldier of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, this is a very famous chapter. You've probably taught a lesson on this if you're a Sunday school teacher at some point. But I want to read through this. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I don't want to stop here. So many times we do, but that next verse ties in part of the armor of God, part of the warfare. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, I pray that you'd use this message this evening. I pray that you'd help us to understand that we are in a battle. I pray that you'd help us to be well equipped for this battle. Thank you for an opportunity to study your word and to be able to learn from it tonight. I pray that you would give me your powers. I preach, give me the words to say. I pray that you'd help us to all be spirit-filled listeners as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me remind you what we're doing on Sunday night. We're on lesson 17 of a 20-lesson series. We are almost done with this series. Can you believe it? We started at the beginning of the year. And this is the Foundations of My Faith series. Our goal is to go through this entire series so that you can have the information, so that you can have gone through all of it, so that each one of us can go step by step with a new convert and teach them these lessons. Each one of these lessons, they come in just a little book. How many of you are working through this right now? Either you're teaching it or you're learning it, but you're going through this Foundation of My Faith series. Anybody working through that right now? Okay, two or three in this class. There are four or five. Okay, this is getting better. Let's keep our hands up. No. So just a few right now. Here's my goal. Here's what I would love to see happen. I'd love to see everybody in some way getting involved with a discipler type of a relationship with somebody, mentoring somebody, and this is a great program to use. Now, you don't have to use this. You could just use the scriptures. That's the best way to do it. But this gives us a tool. So you could teach on salvation. What's it mean to be saved? What's baptism about? And assurance of salvation. To go all the way through that and be able to teach a person who's maybe a young convert or somebody that you have an opportunity to teach. And that's why we're teaching this. So we're not going into this as in-depth, maybe, as we could. But the idea is to cover each one of these topics I was going to try to do each topic once a week, but we're just not getting that every time. So there's just a lot of material. But I want to give you what you need so that each of us and you can sit down with somebody, whether it's over coffee or over chocolate milk, as would be my preference most likely. And I just can't handle coffee. I just can't do that. But disciple somebody. Teach somebody so somebody else can grow. So, quick review. Our spiritual armor, there were several questions. I'll give you the answers to them quickly as we go. First of all, we need to understand we do have enemies. We need to understand how to recognize the enemies. We talked briefly about this, and this was 3 weeks ago. We understand that there is an enemy within, and our flesh is an enemy. This morning in our junior high Sunday school class, we taught about puppies, and I mentioned it this morning, and every puppy comes with something. Every puppy comes with an appetite, and our flesh has an appetite. Every one of us, because we have a flesh, we have a sin nature, we have a desire to sin. There's an enemy within us, and that's our flesh. There's an unseen enemy, and that is the devil himself. We understand the Bible says that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. A very real person with a very real army that's fighting against God and fighting against us. There is an unseen enemy. That's the devil. We need to understand that there's an enemy that we can see. Now, there's the flesh, there's the devil, the one that we can see, and so often we fall to this temptation or the temptations of the world. The message I preached this morning, a lot of it was about the temptations of the world. We got the example of Jesus being taken up to the pinnacle of the temple and being taken up to the high mountain, the exceeding high mountain, and the devil tempting him. And the Bible took him, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him the glory of all these kingdoms. And the devil said to Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. We've got the world, we've got the flesh, we've got the devil. And these enemies are all working together to destroy us, to cause us to sin. They are our enemies. We talked about Satan's strategy to defeat us. Just a quick review, but if you don't have these blanks filled out, this is a great way to do this. What strengthens Satan's strategy to defeat us? First of all, you understand that he does have a strategy. He's not just going at this thing, trying to ruin our lives and ruin our families and ruin our marriages and ruin our kids. He's not just shooting in the dark. He's done this before. He's been around. He's been around ever since the Garden of Eden. He got the perfect man and woman to sin. They didn't have a sin nature. They didn't have neighbors tempting them to sin. And he still got them to sin. And he's very experienced at this. And he's got an entire army of fallen angels. And they're very experienced in this. Understand, the devil does have a strategy. He doesn't have a plan for you. He doesn't have a plan for your life, but he does have a strategy to destroy your life. And we talked about that and understanding what his strategy is. His attacks, they follow a pattern, if you remember. His attacks are constant. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to be sober. This life, we can have fun in this life, but we've got to take this life seriously. You've got to live this life on purpose. You can't just float from party to party and fun thing to fun thing and hope that one of these days you'll end up successfully living a life that pleases God. No, because the devil has a strategy. His attacks are constant. His strategies are predictable. I think that's a blank that you put in there if you want to. We understand that he's a liar. The devil is a liar. He's not going to change. He's been a liar since the beginning. Jesus called him the father of lies. The devil is a liar. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we understand his strategies are predictable. He's going to lie. Isn't it interesting how many of the commercials and how many of the temptations for sinful things, if you look at them, you realize those are blatant lies. The beer commercials are just a perfect example of this. It looks like everybody is having such a fun time, and they're so accepted by everybody else. And it seems like this might just be the answer to all of my social problems. But it's not. It's a lie. If they were to show what really happens whenever you spend an evening drinking and partying with friends, what really happens on the way home, what really happens with the drunk driving accidents, what really happens with the families that fall apart, we'd realize the devil is a liar. And he's going to try to get us to fall for temptations, and he lies about it. He uses people to lie to us. He uses maybe advertisements to lie to us, temptations to lie to us, but he's a liar. He's an accuser. The devil's an accuser. It's predictable. He is an accuser. He accused Job. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. And we talked about him attacking our identity. This is one of his methods. It's a predictable method. He attacks our identity. We talked about identity theft and how the devil doesn't attack our identity by stealing it. He attacks our identity by questioning it. And he attacks our identity by getting us to wonder, am I really a child of God? Am I really saved? The devil wants you to doubt your salvation because he knows you'll be too afraid to do something big for God if you don't even know you're saved. And the devil's going to do that to you. The devil is going to attack your identity, and he's going to get you to question if you really are saved, if you really are a child of God. And we're going to see that the weapon that God gave us, the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil, because he is going to be shooting doubt at us. The devil attacked Jesus' identity, if you remember that. Do you remember the question? This is a review just for a couple moments. The reason I'm doing this is because I preached the first half of this 3 weeks ago. And I hardly remember what I preached last week. How could I expect you to remember what I preached 3 weeks ago? So that's why I'm taking a couple minutes on this. So just bear with me just for a moment. What did the devil ask Jesus? He said Jesus was up there being tempted. And the devil came up and he said, if thou be the Son of God. He was asking him. He's questioning his very identity. If you're the Son of God, cause these stones to turn into bread. If you're the Son of God, cast thyself down. And the devil, if he would attack the Son of God's identity, well, makes us think that he wouldn't attack our identity as well. He does that. He tries to get us to doubt. And we'll see that God has given us a weapon. He's given us faith. And this is a lesson that I've learned this last week. Even the faith that we have is what God has given us. It's His faith. He gives that to us, and it helps us to be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. How else does he work? By enlisting evil and wicked spiritual powers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. This is where we're going to start tonight. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These spiritual powers, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting a physical battle. You know, there's some religious battles that were physical battles in history. You look at maybe the Crusades, for example. And these were religious people who tried to convert people by fighting a physical battle. It happened in the Americas. People would come over, and in both cases, it was the Catholic Church. And they would come over to a new country, they would go to a new place, and they would convert people, fight with the ones that wouldn't convert, and try to fight a spiritual battle with a physical war. One of the things that the Bible's very clear about is we don't fight spiritual battles with physical weapons. The Bible way of converting the world isn't by fighting them. We don't use the sword to convert the world. That was never God's plan. We use the Word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword, but it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. So take a look there, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to remember we're fighting against an entire army of spiritual wickedness. It's broken down. I won't go into all the details. I don't understand them completely. But you got the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. I've heard it explained different ways. Like if this was an army, you've got the different levels of command and all of that. What we do need to understand is the devil does have an army. He is fighting against us. It's a spiritual army. It's an army in high places. We don't understand that exactly. We don't see it, but it is there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you've got another description of this spiritual battle, and I want you to see it there for just a moment. How does the devil fight against us? How does the devil bring the battle to us? Well, one of the ways he does it is by enlisting evil and wicked spiritual powers. It's not just the devil. We oftentimes will talk about how the devil tempts us. The devil's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. God is everywhere, but the devil's not. He's a being, not like God is. He's a created being. He's in one place. He can't be everywhere, but he's got an army. He's got a whole bunch of other fallen angels. We call them demons. The Bible actually, in the New Testament, called them devils, and they are all fighting against us. You got to understand, there really is a battle, and these devils really are fighting against us. I'm not trying to worry you, because remember this morning, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we do need to understand this battle is going on, and the devil has enlisted this evil and wicked spiritual army. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a very powerful a little passage of Scripture here. The Bible says this, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now let's stop there and just look at this verse for a moment. We're walking in the flesh. Nobody can deny that. We live in these bodies, right? We're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. You can't see my soul, but you can see my body. That's who I am. That's the part when my body dies. My soul lives forever, just like yours. Your soul will live forever, either in heaven with God or in hell, separated from God forever. You've got a body, you've got a soul, you've got a spirit. The body is our flesh. The body is what we see. We walk, the Bible says in verse number 3, we walk in the flesh, but the Bible says we don't walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, this is in parentheses in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word carnal means fleshly, all right? If you do a little bit of a little language study there, I know it sounds kind of gross, but carne, all right? One of my favorite parts of a Spanish menu, all right? Carne. Carne asada, carne adobada. I can't ever say it right, but I like the way it tastes, especially in a Twister burrito, all right? Kill you the next day, but it's awesome. What's it talking about? We're talking about meat. It's flesh. Okay, so you got the word carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. They're not something you can hold in your hand. They're not physical weapons. The Bible says, verse number 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We can't fight fleshly battles. I'm sorry, we can't fight spiritual battles with fleshly weapons. It just doesn't work. We've talked through the 10, I forgot what they're, 10 principles of the Reformers Unanimous. That's one of them. You may remember that. You can't fight a spiritual a spiritual battle with a fleshly weapon. It just doesn't work. So many temptations that we're fighting, they're spiritual battles. And so many times we try to fight it with, so many people in our society, we're fighting it with something, medicine or drugs or alcohol to mask it. You can't do it. You've got to fight a spiritual battle with a spiritual weapon. So the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. We walk in the flesh, but not after the flesh. These weapons, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're going to get to verse number 5 in just a moment, but how does God equip us to be victorious? If you want to hold, to put a bookmarker there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to come back to it. And I want you to go back to Ephesians now, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to take just a few moments. I want you to see these weapons. It's not going to be an in-depth study of any of them, but I want you to see them. How does God equip us to be victorious? There's a battle. This is a huge battle. It's a spiritual battle, and we cannot fight it in the flesh. So how are we going to fight it? What can we do? We see that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There's nothing I can do in and of myself to fight this battle. So I need spiritual weapons. So I go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I see what those spiritual weapons are. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 14, we've got this list of these spiritual weapons. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then you've also got prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've got the armor. We've got the weapons. Here's the spiritual weapons to fight the spiritual battle. Now we need to apply them. You got to put them on. All right, let's look at these. How does God equip us to be victorious? First of all, verse number 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I circled these in my Bible. You don't have to, but I circled these. Have you got the truth? God has equipped us with the truth. And in the blank there, you can write integrity. Integrity. With the truth, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says this. This is Jesus talking. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A little bit later, he said, it was 6:14, it had been earlier. Jesus said, I am the, no, it's 14:6, right? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's another place. It was John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. All right, there's a little bit more to that. Jesus is praying to God. A great chapter, chapter 17. I love John 17, this prayer between Jesus and his Father right before he goes to be crucified. And he's talking about his disciples, and he said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Then he says this, thy word is truth. Isn't it interesting how this all ties in? Because in John chapter 1, we see, and the word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the truth. The Word is the truth. We have the truth. You have the truth. How does God equip us to be victorious? He has given us the truth. How do you fight lies with truth? Who's the father of lies? The devil. How do I fight the devil? That was a math problem right there. You may not have seen it coming. How do you fight him? With truth. Right? So Jesus is truth. The Word of God is truth. God has equipped you to be victorious. We have got the truth, and it's right here. And this Bible is loaded with truth. The Bible is truth. We've got it. But we're still going to be faced with the battles. We're still going to be attacked. That means we've got to get into this book right here and apply the truth to our lives. The devil's going to attack you with a lie. If you're married, the devil's going to attack you with a lie at some point in your marriage, and he's going to attack you with this lie, and he's going to say, he doesn't love you anymore, she doesn't love you anymore, or here's another one, you don't love her anymore, if you're a husband. Or if you're a wife, the lie will be, you don't love him anymore, or they're not treating you like you deserve. These lies that the devil is going to give you, you need to be able to fight that with truth. The truth of the Word of God. The devil's going to throw a lie at you about your salvation. You can't be saved. Look what you just did. And he's going to attack you with these lies. And he's going to throw these doubts at you. And these lies. How are you going to combat that? With truth. Now, you can't just hold your Bible up there and say, go away. The Bible is truth, but there are words, and these words have to come in. You've got to read them and understand what truth is and be able to take this truth and combat the lies of the devil. We've got to read it. You can't just keep it on the back dash of your car because it's handy to go to church every week and say, I've got the truth, so I'm going to win this battle. No, you've got to get it. We said this morning, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not how much of God you have, it's how much of you God has. And a very similar statement with the Bible. It's not about how much of the Bible you get through, it's how much of the Bible gets through you. Because the Bible is truth, and the truth is what will make you free, as we read. And the truth is what fights the lies of the devil. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go back there. This is a powerful, powerful verse. When it comes to this battle for truth. We have the truth. God's given us the truth. Ephesians 6, I'm just going to read this again. Having your loins girt about with truth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We read 3 and 4. We don't walk in the flesh. We walk in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Now look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. We'll stop there for just a moment. Is an imagination truth, or is that something made up? It's something made up, right? Casting down, I can imagine anything. I got a pretty good imagination. I was trying to explain a dream I had last night to the kids and my wife on the way home. You ever try to do that? It makes perfect sense. And then you try to explain it, you're like, I just sound like an idiot trying to explain what this is. This thing was in my mind, it was really cool, and Josh was like, that sounds like Aladdin, Dad. I was like, no, really, this is my own story, I was going to write a book about it or something. It was a cool thought. It was this imagination I had, but it's not truth. So the Bible says we've got this battle, and the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty, they're pulling down strongholds. And then he continues, casting down imaginations. Imaginations are not truth. Imaginations are things we think up. Let me help you with another way of thinking about this. Imaginations are feelings, emotions, thoughts. Not truth, but how I feel. It's the thought that I have right now, and we won't go into all the details of that. I'm going to teach in my junior high class. We're teaching some pretty deep stuff in junior high. Next week, we'll be teaching about what the soul has, the mind, the will, and emotions. I said that wrong. The idea of we feel it, we think it, and then we do it. And we're teaching that next week in junior high. These thoughts that we have, these imaginations, they will fight against you. And so many times the battle comes right there in our imaginations. You know, the battleground is your mind. If the devil can win your mind, he wins. So the battleground is right there, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is truth. The knowledge of God's truth, but these things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God are not truth. What would we call something that's not truth? A lie, or an imagination, or something made up. Let's just call it a lie for now. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, it's against God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One of the great weapons that God has given you is this weapon of truth. And we have the truth. The Word of God is truth. We've got to keep going. I want to finish this tonight with righteousness. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to take long on each of these points. Ephesians chapter 6. Having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And that blank, if you just want to write purity there, you can. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:25, the Bible says, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He commanded us. Just living right, doing right. The Bible goes on and gives us another weapon, peace. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Next to peace, you can just write this, tranquility. Tranquility. Jesus said, John 14, 27, he's talking to his disciples. It's right before that prayer I was telling you about. It's before he went to the cross to be crucified. And here's what he told them in this time. It's a very special time. Jesus and the 11 disciples who were left after Judas left to go to betray him. Just this upper room time with Jesus. And he said to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said this, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What great peace we can have. There's so many verses about peace in the scriptures. Did you know that peace is part of our armor? The gospel of peace the Bible talks about. There's lots of ways to apply that, I understand, but we have the word very clearly, the word peace right there. Verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." One of our weapons, one of our mighty weapons of the pulling down of strongholds is faith in God. Let's just write certainty next to that. With faith in God, we'll call it certainty. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Every single one of the attacks of doubt and attacks of the devil can be quenched with the shield of faith. Often the enemy's fiery darts are doubts. And we quench doubts with faith. Now here's what's interesting. Where do we get this armor from? I can't come with it up with it myself. God gives us this armor. "Take unto you," and he tells us all of this armor. I can't make myself righteous. I can't come up with peace. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing with faith. It's not my faith. It's God's faith. And what a great verse. I'm going to forget it. It's Ephesians 6, 6, 8. Somebody help me out with that. It's about faith. Anybody know? Josh, you may remember it. This is a quiz time, all right? Just to see if you're really awake. I'll turn there. Ephesians 6, 8. I was right there. That's not the right one. Ephesians 2, 8. Thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't write this in the notes. I just thought of it. Okay. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Look at this. "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Have you ever read this verse and realized, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not my faith anyway. The Bible says God's given to every man a measure of faith, and realizing God gives us the gift of salvation, but he gives us the faith to believe as well. And here he's saying he's got the shield he wants to give you, and the shield of faith, and it's God's gift, it's God's armor. He wants to give it to us. We spend a lot of time trying to muster up enough faith. This is something God wants to give you. And you could read in the Bible and how God develops faith and all of that. But just understand, God has a shield he wants to give you. The shield is faith. That shield will quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And it's just so important for us to have faith. Okay, we got to keep going because I'll be done. Then we've got stability. Stability. Verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation." Let's call that assurance of our salvation or stability. John 10, 28, there's so many verses we could talk about this and understanding that this is a weapon that God has given us. It's armor that God has given us. John 10, 28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The devil doesn't want you to know you're saved. The Bible teaches so much about knowing that we are saved, though. Once you get salvation settled, you'll be able to do so much more for God. Let me give you just a quick word picture. A tree is not going to grow very big if it keeps getting pulled up by the roots and replanted. If you do that constantly, that tree's going to struggle. It needs to have a place where it can be planted and left there. And the assurance of our salvation, the helmet of salvation, stability. And then in Ephesians 6, 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." God's weapon is the Bible. You know, true Christianity's never tried to convert people with force. I mentioned that already. The Bible's all that's needed. If you get the Bible in you, you'll be fine. But you'll never get victory over sins if you aren't in your Bible. Some of you have this written in the front of your Bible or somewhere in your Bible. Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. I may have said it backwards than you wrote it. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. One of those is going to happen. And if I can keep myself in the Bible, keep the Bible in me, it's going to help me to fight against sin. Now, don't just read your Bible to check it off your list. Read your Bible to learn something from it. The Bible will change you. Let me remind you of Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a powerful book we have. It will win that battle, but you've got to get it in you. And lastly, a weapon that God has given us, an armor that God has given us, is prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I think prayer is probably the most overlooked weapon. In fact, in my Bible, I've got Ephesians chapter 6. I've got these notes, and it talks about the warrior's armor and all of this. And then it's got a whole different category. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So many times we've got the armor of God listed, and then we stop when it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that praying thing's a different Bible study for another time. No, it's part of it. Prayer, the most overlooked weapon. God didn't assign a physical armor counterpart to prayer in Ephesians. There's the sword of the Spirit. There's the feet shod of the gospel of peace. There's the helmet of salvation. There's the breastplate of righteousness. But when it comes to prayer, it's just praying. Prayer is calling in for backup. Prayer is plugging into our source of strength. Prayer is asking for supplies. Prayer is rescuing a fellow soldier when they're wounded in battle. Prayer is getting inside information on the movement of enemy troops. Prayer is fuel for the rockets and gunpowder for the bullets. Prayer is the direct line to God. And if you don't pray, you'll lose every battle you face. I don't remember who said it, but they said this: every failure is a prayer failure. And I want to challenge you as we look at this battle that we're fighting, and we're done, but this battle we're fighting, it's a spiritual battle. We can't fight it with physical strength. It's got to be God's spiritual weapons and God's spiritual armor, but that's okay, because this armor, it's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, but don't go at it without prayer. Get in the Word of God. Spend time with God in prayer. You can have victory. You can have victory over the attacks of Satan. God's given you the armor to do it. We've got to get into the Word of God. That's where the source is. That's where the truth is. That's where truth comes from. That's where faith comes from. That's where righteousness comes from. Every bit of it. You're not going to have peace unless you're spending time in the Word of God. Father, I pray that you would use this message to strengthen Christians tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us. As we are in this battle, we don't necessarily want to be even in this battle or fight this battle, but we're here. It's one that is going to happen whether we want it to or not. We can't just ignore it. So, Lord, I pray that you would equip us for it. And you would help us to grow to the point where we are ready for taking on this battle that you've called us to be part of. Lord, I pray that you would give us victory. There's so many areas where we struggle as Christians, and we face temptations, and so many times we give in and we lose the battle. Lord, I pray that you'd help everyone here this evening to put on this armor, this mighty armor, this mighty spiritual armor. Help us to put that on. Help us to be able to fight this battle. Help us to live victorious. Help us to live a life that pleases you.